Tuesday, the 30th of January, 73. Can run over and beginning of Mr. Weaver's study session this Tuesday, the 30th of January, 73.
Lower that dry?
That's right.
What's that?
Did that dry out?
Yeah, but it'll heat off better if you don't let it.
Well, I used to put Vaseline on.
If it gets like this, I don't use anything.
Oh, reckon? Oh, it's all healed now.
Mm-hmm. It's healing up, you see here. You can tell that.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I thought you were going to stand up, Mr. Weaver. And
I'm standing up by an
exercise.
They want me to sit down.
Well, you don't have to sit down.
I stand up by it. And,
stand up there where you want to.
Today, either one.
Let me see. Well, it's nice. It is indeed. Now, here it is, you see. I always say it's now there's a whole lot in here about that was old man Judge Push. Out there next to Mr. Rush where you was running that cat?
That big 32-pound cat.
Oh, Futch's Ranch.
Futch's Ranch.
Yeah.
Was he on?
Judge Futch's Ranch.
That's, yeah.
Judge Futch's Ranch joined Ed Rush's Ranch.
Yeah. Judge Futch.
Uh-huh.
I've been out there. I was out there.
Now, there's a little pond where they caught the cat between the two ranches, you see, on the right-hand side of the road. I reckon it's still there. I don't know where it's been cleaned up around now, and they caught the cat right on the opposite side of that.
Yeah.
Oh, that is.
Mm-hmm. I second. Go ahead.
Now, did he have cattle, Judge Futch?
Yes, he had lots of them. Had Bremers.
He's the one that had the Bremers?
Yes, he's the one that run the dogs out of the field twice. Out of, about one or two of mine went on across. Nobody else had ever went across the field among those cattle. Those Bremers had run the cows. Run the dogs every time they crossed the fence.
Yeah.
And most all of mine came back out.
Yeah. The Bremers would do it.
That's when you first got them. They got the word that says they don't pay no attention. Bremers don't pay no attention to dogs much now or anything else. Or you either one now. They used to be dangerous when they first got them.
You reckon?
Mankind, how clumb trees from them.
Don't tell me.
Yes, sir.
Clumb trees. I don't know if I can do that to you.
And if you get close to them in the dark.
Well, he must have had a whole field full of them then.
Well, he had several hundred acres of land there.
Uh-huh.
And they had, I don't know how many they did have, so I don't know, 200, 300, or 400.
Mm-hmm.
At least that many.
Well, that's nothing to mess around with.
Mankind, he,
now, you're just wasting your time. You got this thing here to work from. You're talking about stuff that has no relevance for the other.
Tell you, that little pond, they got a hold of that cat. That was White Buck that got in there first. You mean White Buck didn't meet your dogs? Well, I thought White Buck was the big one.
White Buck,
that was
interesting. White Buck's the one that couldn't quite keep up, isn't he?
Yeah, he was one. Well, he was slow, a little slower type dog.
Oh, yeah.
It was my brother's little red gal, and
she was a little red Jip.
Yeah, little red Jip, and my little Walker Jip was one that followed the tracks so close, you know.
Uh-huh.
That was Penny.
Yeah, that was Penny.
Yeah.
And Penny and Beauty and Big Boy was mates. Out of Steve and Lilybell.
Steve and Lilybell.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't heard of them.
Well, I hadn't, we hadn't, see, I didn't have them then. I'd raise these dogs from them and let Jimmy Price have them back. They belonged to Jimmy all the time. Steve and Lilybell did. But they wasn't in the race. I was just telling the dogs running in the race, you see. See,
yeah.
Still, I had to go back to the ancestors.
Well, what'd you do? You just kept Steve and Lilybell for
him? I kept them about a year for him, you see, all one summer for him. See, he didn't do nothing but deer hunting much, you know. And if he wanted to go hunting, he'd come down and go with me.
Yeah.
And I kept his dogs, and I bred them.
Yeah.
And raised some puppies. I didn't have about one or two dogs then.
Uh-huh.
And so that when I had this letter, I asked them if they wanted any of them. There's eight or nine of them to start with. And I saved six of them. I got great big puppies. I told them to come get them if they wanted them. It belonged to... One of them belonged to Jimmy Price, and one of them belonged to Gooseby in Gainesville. Jimmy Price lives up there just this side of Payne's Prairie on the left.
Yeah.
He gave them to me, but I knew he was going to want them next year up there deer hunting with. So he came them the day before deer season, came and got them, got the cage and everything.
Yeah, but you kept the pups? The
yeah.
Litter.
See, they weren't large enough to run, and they never did come get any puppies.
No.
And I lost them all but three. Well, I had four, and let's see, I lost them all but two. I sold Big Boy, and he was good till he was 9 years old.
9 years?
One leg off.
He a white and tan walker?
Black and saddleback walker.
Oh, black saddleback walker.
Mm-hmm. Show you right here some of the picture of it. If y'all want to see this or not.
Thing you use for
well, now listen,
yeah.
I want to talk quite, I want to, you all to go ahead. See, here comes us, the breeding back at that time. Let me come start here first. Now look up, I think his granddad is in this advertiser stud in here. You all, see, you all may want to ask me just certain questions. Don't want me to tell you about these other things.
Well, they all must look pretty much like. They're all black and tan.
Which can you see best by
they,
me? Can you see got enough light that way?
Yeah, I can see all right. I don't need too much light. My eyes don't pick up good. Maybe it's in that other magazine, but I think it's in this one. That's a good part, being there at the house. I can go and hunt up something I want to see, you know.
Uh-huh. That they struck there on that lake. Well, then that must have been Beauty and Big Boy and Penny that got in on it.
It was all of them got in there except the lady. She didn't run it. I whipped her one time, I thought, to run a rabbit, and it must have been a cat, and she never was running a cat after that.
So
I just brushed her a little bit.
Well, they just all come in on that cat at one time.
Oh, they hadn't, they didn't go 100 yards from me until they struck. All of them went right on in. We turned them all loose, turned mine loose first.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's in that other picture, that the daddy, granddad, those dogs, and in that other magazine. I don't believe it's in this. And this is too far back.
Well, it never is in the one you're looking at.
Yeah,
now let me see. Mister, what price is that?
Jimmy Price.
Jimmy Price.
Yeah.
You mean the young fella? Or he not
he's middle. He's middle aged now. He's around in the 50s now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. But he was, back in let's see, that was in 56, I believe it was. 55, 56 when I caught this cat. Had my 50th anniversary of cat.
Yeah. But when was it you got those, had those two dogs of his?
That, I had them the year before. And
well, you
puppies.
mean those puppies? Which one was it? Was belonged to, which was the puppy?
That was Big Boy.
Steve and Lilybell. Steve belonged to Jimmy Price, and Lilybell belonged to Gooseby and Game.
Yeah.
And I bred these two. I didn't have but.
Well, which one was it? That pup was on the hunt.
Well, those pups, that was Big Boy and Beauty and Penny.
Penny. Mm-hmm. Penny. Oh, you mean Penny was just a year old?
They all three, all those puppies are just a little over a year old.
And they was on that hunt?
Yeah, right in there and running.
Beauty
they,
and Penny
they'd
and
run up. Beauty had run up since she was 4 months old.
Don't tell
me. Wasn't no higher than that, and you'd have to catch her, run her down and catch her. She wouldn't quit. Coon or anything cross the road, she wouldn't run nothing but a fox and a cat.
She wouldn't pay a bit of attention.
No, sir, I seen her tried. Mm. Right in front by herself, and seen her run where the coon crossed the road, she just went on. When Drake heard her bark, she had a fox.
Now that's Penny.
No, that was
Beauty.
Penny's mate.
Yes. I just you see, it's a little hard for me to just keep the name straight. So
oh,
don't
I
get
it
don't
is.
Don't let me get you off.
Okay.
No, I'm just not good at it, Mr. Weaver.
I'm not either.
So, you see, oh sure, that was Beauty. And she was just a year old on that hunt.
Well, they may have been, let's see, they're just about a year old. I was about right. Not far from a year old. No, let's see, that was in wept in the spring, and that was the 4th of July, my 50th anniversary of fox hunting.
Yeah.
That's reading it.
Fourth of July.
Yeah,
so she's just a little over.
She's a little over. She's about 15, 16 months old.
I didn't know they had enough sense to run a year old.
I bred and gave Frank Weaver a couple of black and tan, some of the same breeding as that Grady Hagen dog I had. And they'd never been out of the pen at 3 months old. And they was building the Interstate 75, and he said he was going to take old Sam, a groom dog, out and give him a little exercise that morning. I said, why don't you carry the puppies? 3 months old. Oh, he said, ain't no use. I said, I'll go with you. I said, let's go and get them. I got them, picked them up, and put them in his car, and it scared them, made them sick and irked.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Now, and when
they get car sick.
Yeah, they do that a lot of times. And so that we got out there, he says, come out of there. I said, wait a minute, boy, you don't know how to train dogs. I said, you wait just a minute. I said, let me talk to those puppies. And I kept talking to them, and they came up to me, you know, and I picked them up, put them on the ground, that, and I was shaking this away, you know. I said, just wait a minute. He got all right, and after I got talking to him again, wag his tail, and I turned it loose and run around a little bit. I reached back and picked the other one up. It scared it, too. Not, it had never been handled, you see.
Oh.
We went walking on, old Sam went on, and I told him, I said, don't you say nothing, you just let me talk to these puppies.
Now, who was that?
That's Frank Weaver, my nephew.
Yeah.
But we got out there, and we went on, I seen old Sam going on down. Didn't pay no attention to anything. After a while, these puppies just followed him and got near out of sight from us.
Mm.
He was going on down that way, and I seen him leave the road and begin to smell and run around out there. I says, Frank, we better get down now. Those puppies smelled a fox. He couldn't believe it. We rushed on down there, and there's this trail where he's crossing, going through a wire fence. And we didn't have no collars on these puppies, and going out around water lily where we couldn't go. And we crawled over the fence and chased them down there, and these little fellas was trying their best to run that fox.
Mm.
And trying to bark, they didn't know what to do. But that, and we had to run way down in the woods. I had to catch these puppies because if we went a little farther, we couldn't have went in there. It's so rough. And I told him, I said, Frank, you got to learn how to handle dogs. I said, now these dogs goes. That was one of Red Gal's and Grady Hagen's puppies that I gave him at run that took the fox track. And we seen its hide pulled off on the fence there and its tracks and everything. Seen the park. Well, anything been there but the park.
Mm. Well, Red Gal and Grady Hagen. I thought Grady Hagen ran with Julie.
No. Julie'd been dead a long time then. That's all. Grady Hagen is back in, I raised him in Macanope about 15 years ago, about 16 years ago.
Oh.
Grady Hagen and him there in Macanope.
Must have been a little
I had Penny here. And I had Penny and Big Boy then, but Beauty died when I lived at the junction with the Stemper out there.
Hmm. Well, then Little Ann must have been around then, too, running with Grady Hagen.
Little Ann was a year younger than Grady Hagen. Same mother and same daddy. Out of Miss Needles and Bruce Hagen. Bill Whitehurst had ordered him from Arkansas.
That far.
And so that I bred Miss Needles to him. See, they're registered dogs, you know, mm-hmm. I'm registered there.
Well, then they weren't really much older than Beauty or Big Boy or any of them.
Yes, there's a Big Boy and them was about, there's about 2 years. Let's see, were they 2 years older than Penny and about a year and a half, I think, if mm-hmm. I figure about a year and a half difference in age.
Who was it? I lost his name. Whitehurst. Who was he?
You mean Whitehurst over at Williston?
Is he the one that had the dog?
Yeah, he's the one that had Bruce Hagen. He is the daddy of Grady Hagen and Cindy Lou and Bald Eagle and Crook and Little Ann and Little Ann and Crook and Mayflower was letter mates. And I kept three of those. And when they trained them, you see, I sold Crook to a fella down at Oxford. He bought him.
What'd you get for him?
$65. He is a year old. He is already trained when I sold him.
Yeah. Which Whitehurst was that?
Bill Whitehurst, the one that fell up in class 2 or 3 years ago, going to Tallahassee,
mm-hmm.
you know, and got in that tornadoes up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way they could ever figure that he got killed, you know, got in that tornadoes going to.
Well, old man Whitehurst, Vivian?
Vivant, yeah. He's still living.
That's
he's
his son?
Yeah, that's his grandson. Oldest son.
That's his oldest son?
Oldest son, Bill Whitehurst.
Yeah.
He used to come over here and hunt me around the Horn place over here, Billy Rich and Grange.
Oh, really?
We went out here cat hunting out there at the junction, and he didn't like cat hunting. He never did come back anymore. It was too rough on his dogs. They, you know, they dodge and hard to run.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, my, this lick, you ought to watch him. You can hear it pull something. How they do it, a dog pack and beer, they run out this way and circle back, and they go right through that pack and hide there, and those dogs go right on over. They catch a lot of them, those dogs just wise to that, and they catch a lot of them, but I've seen him, and I didn't know when that cat got away, man. I seen it go down to the ground, and I never could. I thought I was watching it. And how they can do that, but they're just the color of the ground, you know, and grass.
Yeah.
Bobcat is, and the dog will run right by him.
Well, it seems like if that dog's running with his nose down.
Well, he's hunting for it, smelling for it. He's not looking for it.
Mm-hmm. And so the cattle go on ahead and then double back.
Yeah, double right straight back. Sometimes jump up on a tree and the dog goes on that tree, jumps off, takes right back track.
In his own track?
Yeah. They'll do all kind of walk a railroad track and a highway. They know that the dog can't smell him. If he ain't close enough to wind him in the air, they can't smell him that way.
Well, those close track running dogs can't smell him in the air, can they?
Yeah, they can smell him 100 yards from you.
Oh, can they?
200 well, yards.
I thought when you said I've dog seen, run close track, he just kept his nose in the ground.
No. He can run with his head up, but not run over track. When it makes a turn, he turns with it.
Oh.
That's called a close track runner, you see. He throws his head up. I've seen them not 10 steps behind the dogs in front. When they missed the track, they shut up. I've seen them one back behind throw his head up and just pull right off too, right in the way the fox or cat went. Mm-hmm. You see, they're running together, training together, you see. I've seen them do all those things.
Yeah.
It's like, if you like it, it's good sport, but a lot of people don't care for it.
It's too tricky on the dogs.
Well, people just don't like it. They don't like to hear dogs. They don't like to see dogs even.
Oh, I mean, they don't like dogs. But what, Bill Whitehurst?
He liked it. He is a great hunter.
But he didn't like cat hunting.
He didn't like it as well as he did fox hunting. You see, he'd get out there, and his dogs weren't used to running the cat, he kept them all balled up all the time. See, they got to learn to run a cat. It's different to a fox. They're altogether different. And mine kept on, and three of them never did get out, and they bayed that cat, caught it, but they wouldn't kill it. It was Penny and Brownie and Red Gal.
Brownie.
Well, Penny and Brownie, Red Gal had hung herself before that.
Oh.
Yeah. Brownie was one of Red Gal's puppies.
Uh-huh.
Out of Big Boy.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember the names, you know. It makes it hard on you all to remember me calling them over, see.
Well, I kind of catch up after a while. Well, that wasn't that big cat you caught on your 50th anniversary.
No, that was a different cat.
Oh.
We ought to talk about one race, not get the other mixed.
No, that's all right. Mr. Weaver, this Bill Whitehurst now, but he'd come over here and hunt with you a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd hunt cats? Not necessarily.
Fox, most of the time. We'd run fox back over here at the Horn place. There's plenty of them over there, and I could... Billy Dreeve, the gate open, let me drive up there around the Horn place from the back of the lake. You know, you go down that grade
mm-hmm.
on the county line. I'd drive up in there and turn them loose that way if there's a fox or cat. Anywhere in that scrub, the McIntosh, over around close to Zetrow's in there, and round all around Water Lily, those dogs just go on. I wouldn't see them until that afternoon. They begin to come back in. Mm-hmm. They wasn't running somewhere. I just stay up there and listen for them. They'd bring the fox or cats right back around close so I could hear them run.
You and who?
I didn't have to move. Sometimes I'd move and get to dodging way off from me, and I'd drive around on the other side and listen at them.
You was all by yourself out there?
Most of the time.
Well, I reckon you always went with a couple of fellas.
No, lots of time back then, people didn't go, and I had all those young dogs just training them, you see. And
I thought you'd just go knocking everybody's door down the line, and out you'd go.
No, I don't go out. If I have appointments and they don't come, I can go on by myself. See, we always turn my dog loose, usually to track anyway. Of course, they had good dogs, too. These other fellows had good dogs, too.
Oh, Whitehurst?
Oh, yeah, he had plenty of good dogs. He had about 18.
That many?
Hmm.
He didn't carry them every time I went, all of them. But he had 18. See, he deer hunted. He run deer. And the dog that he ordered from Arkansas and paid $250 for, they stole some of his puppies one year, and the next year they got five of his puppies over in the scrub and got him, stole him. He lost six of them and didn't get nothing but this stock of dogs. They knew what dogs are stealing.
You mean even back then they'd...
Oh, my dear. In the deer woods, some of the deer hunters always stole.
Oh, the hunters don't like the dogs.
No, they take them off and sell them somewhere else and make money off of them. Steal them, take them off and sell them. It's just like coming out there and stealing one of your cows and taking it off and selling it.
Yeah.
See, there people go around and do such stuff as that.
Has all along.
Yeah. Ever since I can remember, there'd be somebody once in a while would steal or butcher somebody's cows or hogs in the woods.
And the same thing?
But they're much worse now than they used to be.
But the same thing about the dogs?
Yeah, same thing about the dogs.
There's always been somebody that would...
Would steal, and see, they go in there and play like they're deer hunting, and they're not deer hunting, they're driving around.
They're hunting dogs.
And they pick up the dogs, and they can slip out with them and get by with it, you know, they take them away off somewhere else. Well, every year they bring somebody's dog from Gulf Hammock over in there, and it come up to somebody brought up the checking station over here, and fella from over here took the collar off, got the phone number off the collar, and game warden wouldn't call the man up and tell him his dog was over here. And this other hunter did. He's a good honest hunter, you know, an honest fella. He did. He called him up and told him his dog was over here last year. And he came over and got his dog and all tried to pay him. He said, "No, sir, we don't over here don't charge people for that." He's a good friend of mine. He's a nice fella. Lives over here at Rochelle, Horace Tillman. Tillman over at Rochelle. He's a nice fella. He wouldn't bother anything. Look after your stock or anything. If you see something, your stock going on.
Tillman, he's not. Tillman. Who's this? Tillman, the name sounds familiar, Mr. Weaver. Who's Jim Means' father-in-law? That's not Tillman.
Well, Bateman.
Bateman.
Oh, his father-in-law. No, that's Crowder.
Crowder. Yeah. No, that's not Tillman. Well, now, the only other Tillman I know is old Hannah, Joe Hannah's.
Oh, well, that's a deal. Oh, my goodness. That's all together different. They ain't no kin there.
Or resemblance.
No, nothing. Now, this is a fine fella over here at Rochelle. He is one told me about the game warden having my dog. And I said, "That's how come it burned my car up trying to get over to catch him. Get him before he got done something with him." And when they found him, he was in Gainesville in the hospital. Got hit way back out west of Gainesville, way on the other side of Winders, where I left him at, or where I turned loose, and he was running. He wasn't supposed to go there by himself. Couldn't have made it save his life on those highways. And got that with somebody had to carry that dog.
All the way to where?
To the 16th Avenue North. Up 13th Street, 16th Avenue in Gainesville.
Oh.
He couldn't have went all through all
you
that.
You don't mean that's where he got hit?
That's where he got hit at. Over close to the...
Right over there by the veterinary.
Yeah, and not far from the veterinary. And over there, right there at, what's that, Junior High School?
Oh, yeah.
Santa Fe Junior High School. And this lady was trying to catch him. If they get loose, they don't catch him easy.
Oh, don't they?
Now, and he got away from her who had got him, I guess, and she was trying to catch this dog. See, I'd called up and never, I don't know, I haven't found out yet, I haven't been up to see him yet. How come the dog up there? We can't get no trace, how come him there?
Yeah.
And she rushed him to the hospital, and the veterinary, he had my name on the collar, and the veterinary wouldn't take him in and had her to call me. And he wouldn't take him in until I okayed it.
Yeah. That is, he was working in favor of the owner.
Yeah.
He'd had experience.
He must have been a nice fella because he sure went ahead and just me and didn't know me and talking over the phone. See, I'd had that summer cold. I was in such a bad shape, and my car tore up, and I couldn't go nowhere. And I'd been up so much trying to find that dog when I shouldn't have been. And so he had her to call me, the lady that brought him in, to call me and talk to me. They called me, wanted me to call me over there from Frank's place, and I went over and talked to her. And he said he wanted to talk to him, and I talked to him, and he said, told me how the dog was hit, said it's
Mr. Weaver, let me tell you, we can't use that.
Okay.
I don't use any of your misfortunes.
Well, I know, but I mean, I want you to ask me the questions that you wanted me to answer best way.
Well, the world's so full of misfortunes. No use transferring it at all. we got the idea from this little hunt. Now, you see, all this here is on that... Is what you told us. All this, that's all this paper here.
Is that one hunt?
That's just that one hunt. Everything.
It is.
Yeah, and that's almost everything is what you said. They're as close to it as I could get, you see. Yeah. I just ought to put it together. Now, this is the fullest one we've got so far. Mm-hmm. Rick worked on some of them where the material wasn't as good. And we're kind of learning how now.
Well, that's the way you got to do it.
Yeah.
And ask me a question what you want me to answer, and I'll try to not answer them too quick for you. You see, that has a lot to do with it. And dictating to anyone is not me not getting too fast and jumping off. I'm too bad to jump from one thing to another.
Well, we got the tape on now. We can study it.
Can study it?
We can look at it. Well, but over your house, it's a little harder. I see. Rick's, he's done the work on it. I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of went along with him.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you see, he had the wrong idea about this close track.
Track running, you see.
Yeah.
That's the reason he needs to go hunting.
Yes.
And see it himself, then he... it's like that fellow told you about, you know, you had to be a fox hunter to know the value of a dog.
That's right.
You see, a dog, you couldn't sell it for $50, but you wouldn't sell it for $500 if it's yours.
Yeah.
Because it's just what you want.
Yeah.
Worth that. Yeah. And that's the way those people, most of the people that does this big hunting, they don't, somebody else looks at the dogs all the time.
Yeah.
Go ahead and ask me the question. We don't get
Well, now you take a fellow like Price up there. He's in the Whitehurst family, too.
Yeah.
He
tell me he's quit hunting. Yeah, the way they got the law on these deer hunters and all like that, making everybody pay such a big price to hunt this little spot, hunt that little spot. The old crossroad wire, you can't go and get your dog. Well, it's a shame the way that they've got this messed up now.
Yeah.
A lot of them didn't buy a license.
Well, now, where did he get to the hunting, Mr. Weaver? Did he learn it from the Whitehurst?
Well, I don't know. I think he had hunted from a boy on up like I had.
Uh-huh.
See, my uncles was hunters, and had friends and cousins, and all of them was hunters. I was just born a hunter. My oldest brother and I, we was great hunters.
Oh, really?
He was 10 years older than I was.
Oh.
And, so he is one got the dogs. He got up and when he got to where he was teaching school, he bought him some good dogs.
Oh, yeah. And, got a little money in the family.
And, my dad and his large family house, they couldn't hardly afford it, but they kept a couple of dogs all the time.
Yeah.
What's the difference in feeding good dogs and sorrows? That's the way I looked at it.
That's right.
I tell one thing on me, you know, most everybody stole, haven't they?
Yeah.
I've stole a many biscuit and slipped them and cornbread and slipped them in the pocket and fed the dogs. That sounds good in the letter, you know, people laugh about that. And a lot of other boys has too, I guess.
Yeah, I reckon so.
You know, I wouldn't let it waste, you know, I wouldn't leave it. I wanted the dogs to get it, and I'd slip it in my pocket, you know, and carry it.
I tell you, Mr. Weaver, I said this, we talked about this over at your house, we talked about it now, we have a record of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, I got this material, and look how long it's taken me to do it. And Rick's got some material, and he hadn't worked up any of the good material he's got. So, now here's the thing, you see, if something happened to you, it'd be almost impossible to use this material. You see, your family, they may not give a darn about you now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they do or they don't.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean other people's families, I've seen it work.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, once you're gone, they act as if they just owned you. And they'll take it over, and we can't use any of your material, you see. They'd take you to court for using it. And all we're trying to do is just
make a story and write it down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you see, we've got a whole lot of material. And if I don't use it, he can use it. But
it's like those little magazine articles you wrote, you know. They can use it.
Well, but you see, the thing of it is, we've got to have some little protection against your heirs.
Mm-hmm.
And in other people's cases, the heirs take over and act like they may not pay attention to you while you're living, but when you're dead, they just take over.
Well, sometimes they grab it there and they don't even come see you until you're dead. Then they'll come in there.
That's right.
And they got to sign the papers.
Yeah.
About if you've got any property or anything. Well, One thing, I haven't got it. I'm not worse enough to hurt nobody much. But
yeah, but this material here, they'll figure that what we got here is worth a whole lot of money.
Yeah, some will do that.
And that they're the ones that do that, you
mm-hmm.
see. Well, it's not.
No, they don't do it, have anything to do with it.
Well, but you see, that when you if you ain't here, they will.
What I wanted you all to do is just to write this, and if you can... Now, if you get it where they like it, you know, sometimes they'll give this boy a job writing for that Hunter's son or somebody.
Well, now, you see, we got other little things, too.
Uh-huh.
You see, that little story about Mr. Bonner.
That's a good one, too.
Oh, yeah.
I told it because I figured maybe the...
And this thing about the chiropractor... That's
mm-hmm.
one of the most interesting things I ever got into.
Listen, now, way to do now.
And you see, the young people now, they don't know to do that.
That's right.
If they go to chiropractor, they won't pay attention to what he does.
What he says?
Yeah.
Well, you see, I only went twice now. I carried a lot of people to them, advised them to go to them.
Yeah.
And now I've carried a lot of people to them. Now, only way to do, there used to be a weaver up there. If he's any related to me, I don't know anything about it. He was good.
Yeah.
People liked him. I've had patience
to
him.
Oh, yes, I've heard of him.
But I bet none paid attention like you did.
Well, you've got to go in there. Now, listen. If they get it, lots of punishment. Don't think it ain't. But you won't learn nothing if you don't take it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main thing. I want to learn how to use it on myself. And I use it on myself. You see, I don't prove nobody.
It kind of kept you alive, hasn't it?
Oh, mankind, it knocked a mere pain out of me.
Let me tell you,
you can do that yourself.
To your dogs, old, now this Ed Price, I just know him when I see him.
Jimmy Price,
yeah. Right this side of the prairie.
Uh-huh.
But now he been running dogs. He grew up running them like you did.
I reckon he did because first time when he married... they had dogs. He'd been hunting. He must have been hunting when he was a boy coming up because when he married Charlie Whitehurst's daughter, when he moved up there, you see, Lynn Keel and a bunch of we all hunted together a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
They used to like to kid me about my dogs, you know.
You mean when he moved up there on the prairie?
Yeah. When he married his daughter and went to work in the... He may have been working at the prairie before they married. I don't remember about that. He didn't say how come.
Well, now that they had a dairy up there.
Oh, they had a big dairy. They put out some of the best milk and chocolate milk.
But the Whitehurst owned that.
Yeah, Charlie Whitehurst.
Charlie Whitehurst owned it.
Yeah, brother Vivian over here.
Oh, he's Vivian.
And Bill over at Archie was a big watermelon man.
Yeah.
Bill Whitehurst. Back
but
in
Bill was their son.
No, it was brothers.
Brothers? It was Vivian?
Bill, Charlie, and Vivian. I believe Vivian.
The three brothers.
He was the youngest one of them, yeah. I used to handle watermelon for...
So Jimmy Price is Charlie's boy.
Son-in-law.
Son-in-law, yeah.
Son-in-law. Jimmy Price is son-in-law.
Yeah.
Made his youngest daughter.
Well, now, Vivian and Bill, he was the hunter of the three.
Well, Bill, yeah, he had more dogs, and he had many more dogs than they did.
Jimmy and them,
Bill and Vivian and all of them, they had the dogs together, but Bill's one had that part to look after.
Yeah.
And by the dogs, they all hunted. Vivian is a big deer hunter, too.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's got him some deer and stuff fenced in.
In his own place over there.
Oh, his own place over there. I used to handle cabbage for him and his produce for him when I was in the produce business.
Yeah.
Sold it on the commission.
Yeah.
Sellers field, truck drivers, and all they could cut out of that cutting, you know, or anywhere he wanted.
Well, now
definitely.
He's got deer over there, because you don't hunt, you don't run deer. You
no,
run.
I don't care nothing about it.
But you could go over there on his place and run a fox.
But they don't, you've got to have permission to go in on places like that, and there's so many fences in those places.
Yeah.
If they knew it was me, all over the country, most of the people that knows me, if they knew it was me, they wouldn't bother my dogs.
Yeah.
But they don't know whose dog it is sometimes and kill it.
Yeah. They don't look at the name on it.
No. Well, it's kind of like I told the game warden, they had these little spots where that you that is still hunting and your dogs ain't allowed to go on it. I told them, I says, my dogs can't read nor write either one. Yeah. They don't know any better. And they tell me that they give you a right to shoot the dogs over at that little spot. Mm-hmm. If he comes on it. Well, they'll go for it a mile sometimes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not fair. That's not fair to kill a man's dog like that. Go ahead and get back on what you all want to.
Well, we're doing nice, you see. Because we're interested in the hunters as much as the dogs.
Yeah. Well, you've got to get the both of them to get the meaning of one of them.
Now, let's see. It was Jimmy Price's dog.
That he got Beauty and Big Boy from.
Yeah.
Now, bred...
Jimmy Price and the other fella.
Yeah, bred Steve to Lilybell.
Uh-huh.
And Lilybell belonged... that was Gooseby's dog, but I kept both of them for him.
They're Walker hounds.
Yeah, they're full-blooded Walkers.
What Gooseby's that, Mr. Weaver?
What's that?
What Gooseby's that?
Gooseby, he's moved over to Chieflin. He lives in Chieflin. Now, he runs a service station right there on... North Main Street West. You know, there used to be a service station right there close to in front of the bank. They may have tore that all down and built something else there now. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's still there or not. But Gooseby used to run that service station right there, Standard Oil Station.
Well, the only Gooseby I've ever heard of is the one who was a printer up there in Gainesville.
Well, that may be related to this Gooseby, I don't know.
I ran into him one time, but I didn't, I don't know him. But now, let me see now, which dog have we gone into the most, Ray?
Well, for that big cat hunt, I guess the most we know is Red Gal.
Red Gal and Penny, all those are good dogs. You take Mr. Rush, your dog was 8 years old, but he is still good, you know.
Is that three-legged dog?
No.
That's Thunder.
No. Well, Thunder was in there. He was a good dog. He belonged to me, but I was letting Ned keep him, because he didn't have but about two or three dogs, you know.
Which one was it?
Thunder was my dog.
Was the Blue Buck his three
Blue legs? Buck belonged to Ed Rush.
Was it White?
And White Buck was Keith. See, now I said Blue Buck and White Buck, so you know which dog
was
talking.
Was it Blue Buck that was three-legged?
No, it was a young dog he had. Had his front foot hurt and the screw worm beat his foot up.
Oh,
and he'd still run on, took that leg and run on it. And he was the one that hadn't, see, he had a young dog and he run, and the cat was sitting down on him fighting the other dogs. And he was lying down hollering, you know, and Keep walked up.
Well, who's that dog?
That's the one I told you about it before.
I
belonged to Ed
Rush.
Mm-hmm. That was Mr. Rush's young dog.
That was his dog.
See, he just had those two dogs, you know, and then they had to keep old Thunder, my
dog. Blue Buck and the three-legged. Oh, what was the three-legged?
I've forgotten his name, but anyway, he was a crippled dog.
And he was just a young dog.
Yeah. And he was a good dog, too, but he didn't...
Blue tick dog?
What's that?
He was a blue tick, wasn't he?
No, he was a blue speckled dog.
Blue speckled?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought blue tick and blue
speckled. Not all of them. You can cross a Walker and a black and tan, and you'll have blue speckled dogs in there.
Uh-huh.
And some of them call them blue ticks. I know a lot of people sold the dogs for blue ticks, and there's Walkers and Julys crossed because I knew the dogs and hunted with both of them.
Oh, that blue speckled and blue tick isn't the same thing, then.
No, you can take a black and tan dog and cross it, or a black and tan color dog, and you'll get some speckled dogs we're breeding to my dogs up there.
Oh.
That gives that white, and that gives them specks, you see.
Oh, well, what makes blue speckled?
Well, now, then they call the blue tick dog, now that's really a tree dog. that bred in with the blue speckled dogs, you know, and bred the colors, you see, just like some of breeds black and tan walkers. See, I got some part that's got a little dark on them because I crossed out with one dog with this color. I didn't like it. I went to breed to another dog, and he had sold this dog, but this was a good blooded dog and had the breeding I wanted in it, but it didn't have the color. I hadn't been bred the color I wanted.
Well, what do you do to get a black and blue speckle?
Blue speckle breed a white dog. And I'll give you'll get some blue speckles in there. You can be able to breed a red dog, and you get red speckle dogs.
I thought blue speckle was a kind of dog, like a walker is a kind of dog.
Well, it's just been bred up. All colors just been bred that color, you see. They're like white, these cattle out here. You can go that end with black things, you'll have different colors, won't you?
Sure.
Some of them be spotted.
So blue speckle isn't a pure blood dog like a walker is.
Well, they bred those dogs and went to register them, and they call them blue ticks, but ever a speckled dog isn't a blue tick. Just like Mitchell Boyd brought a speckled dog around there and bred Dan, and he got some blue speckled dogs.
Uh-huh.
And they took care of speckled after that color of dog.
Oh.
What did Mitchell do with them?
He still hunted a little bit. He hadn't hunted this year. They got to such a bad shape. He said, told me the other day he's going to get rid of his dogs because there's no place to hunt them. He deer hunted some. That's all that he's ever done is deer hunt.
Yeah. He don't care about the other?
No, he don't care nothing about Fox Cat. And he's busy. He don't have time, really. And
oh, yeah.
His brother Doug now likes fox and cat hunt.
Yeah. Well, now the other boy that used to work out there for Zetrauer.
Thomas. He doesn't hunt much. He used to like to hog hunt greedy.
Yes.
He kept bulldogs and hog hunted a lot.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And then he had horses.
Yeah, and they're out there, you see, they want to get the hogs out, kill them out off the pastures out there. There used to be a big hog ranch out in there. They run at large, you know, and everybody had hogs out in there and got a lot of wild hogs out in there.
Uh-huh.
They root the grass up in the pasture, you know, they'll mess up your pasture to come in.
Come out at
you
night?
To get out here and get in your rye out here, they'll just eat it up and root it up.
Yeah. Come out when you're not there.
Yeah. You can't find them either. You got to have dogs to catch them with.
Yeah.
To run them, find them for you. See, they lie out in daytime and hide.
Yeah.
Just like a bobcat.
Well, bobcats don't run in day?
Yeah, they will feed in daytime. A lot of them do. But they slip around in thick places.
Mr. Weaver, your dogs go out, they don't always just bark the same, do they? I mean, when they hit something, they change their bark, don't they?
Yeah, it'd be something different.
Uh-huh.
You can tell the difference in it, and when the tree, they have a different bark.
Where they just yip, yip, yip.
Oh, they bark out a better. It's a more musical sound than running a deer just barks around the place. I don't like to hear them around the place, but
you
I like
don't?
To hear them running the fox and cat. It's altogether different. When they bark
they
out
go,
of the house,
or what?
Well, they bark all different kind of barks. Some say, ooh, oh, oh. Come on, bark this way. Ho, ho, you, ho, 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 ho. You hear all kinds of sounds in that.
Well, like when Penny get hold of that cat trail. Does that change your bark?
Well, you could tell. I could tell her what. See, I never run her after nothing but fox and cat. She never run nothing but that in her life. See, I don't let mine run stalk or deer.
Yeah, but like, say she's just... Like say you just set her out, see, and she'd
go hunt for nothing but a fox or a cat.
She let's say she hadn't struck a cat yet.
If she won't bark open unless you
she won't
she
bark
open.
At all.
No, you won't hear her barking. She may hunt all day or all night and not even open her mouth unless she finds a fox or a cat.
So you
and she finds a fox or a cat, she'll open on this track and trail it.
What's she sound like?
Huh?
What's she sound like?
Just like the dog barking. They don't bark like a dog, a house dog or mine when you all come up.
Uh-huh.
They bark different, you know, today.
Oh, I see.
That's maybe you can back up here and stow and get yourself.
I'm all right. I'd
my
much
britches, this sort of weather, get seen to be so thin.
You remember I told you I put on another tie yesterday, and that hurt the great heat.
Yeah.
I'll have to take them off after a while. I need to take off one of these shirts now, but I'm all right right now. Here's what I got to let get well.
You really got this. It's taking all the skin off. You're going to have a new new skin.
That's deep down in here for that one.
Oh, well, that's pretty coming up underneath,
now,
though.
Look at that.
Just as pretty and faint as it can be.
Listen, I can't stand nothing to touch this happening several days.
Yeah. I guess not.
Yeah, I've touched it once or twice since I've been burned. And I just happened to touch it. Now, this, it soon peeled off and cured up this on the corners here. My hand's all right on the bottom right. Shoot, I don't even wash this. You can't get enough. Ooh, this up here. Get infection in it.
Oh, you reckon?
Oh, yeah.
If you'll just let it air, see this out
there,
yeah. I can hit it.
Yeah.
Well, that air will do it.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Reaver, I use that old adhesive tape, but I don't put the tape on it. I put a little paper or something on there and put the adhesive tape on there just to keep things from rubbing it.
Well, the same main thing that you got to do with this, I'd have to tow my, it's burned all up in here, too. This is all peeled off.
Sure is.
See, I don't watch this. Look here, I washed it in 3 weeks.
You see what he did, Mr. Fay? I told you that. Look at that.
You see, burned that all off, burned my eyebrows off, burned
kerosene,
my face.
Kerosene, you see.
And
why, Mr. Weaver?
It blowed up Sunday 2 weeks ago. In my face, you see, I've been trying as a cold morning. I was trying to get it to start, and it wouldn't start. Put matches down there and paper it and went out. And after you
so
see,
he peeked in there to see about it.
Then it went out so much, I sort of looked and see if it what it done. You see,
yeah.
And about that time, here she come, right up my face. Just as I looked over into it.
My goodness,
it's a dangerous thing. Was there anything else y'all want to ask me about this? Or?
Faye got a little something over there, Clark. Don't have much, do you?
This is real rich. I mean, not rich, but it's rice and chicken. It's perlo.
Rice and chicken. Okay,
and you can just, and that'll be a, and you heat it.
Now, what else does he eat, Faye?
And I've got this little salad over here for him.
What did you see? What was it in that, Mr. Weaver, you were looking at?
I was looking at, it tells here about a bobcat race right here.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Well, fine, let's hear it.
Now, when y'all read it, I can't see good. The old, it all these are good stories. If you read these, then you understand when you more about what you.
That was that Texas race, wasn't it?
Texas cat. Yeah, Texas cat. Where is that at now? And the fella said the same thing that said in this when we caught that and said, if I'd known you would have caught a cat this morning, we'd have went too. But they wanted to go after we caught the cat. That big cat couldn't be caught, you know. Oh, and this is story is kind of like is about as near like that one as you ever read. This will give you maybe a little bit of idea. So,
you mean it's not in this one?
Yes, it's in this one here if I don't miss it somewhere.
Fox Race Registered.
It's in here. I'll come to it, but I think it isn't. Front part of it, but it must be wrong. Must be over towards the back. I found it. I found it a while ago.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I reckon it did.
Well, it is still in the front. Well, I'm letting leaves stick together, and it's what's doing that. I'm passing.
Yeah, I'll bring it all the time.
Yeah, I can't separate these. These sticks, it hadn't been handled in a long time. The Great Texas Cat.
I really love it.
Now I'm going to let one of y'all read. I can't read. I can't see. It runs together on me. I have to look
out. Fellow hunters, I'm a fox and wolf hunter, but I still like to go cat hunting once in a while. So I'll attempt to tell you my very exciting hour and a half my buddy and I had not long ago. It was on the Brazos River, about 4 miles from Barmington, Texas. We got up early one morning to go cat hunting, as my friend Mr. Pritchard had told me that there were some big cats at a place on the river. We saddled up our horses, called Old Rowdy and Crybaby, and unsnapped Black Jack. These are purebred walker hounds of double trouble breeding. Double troubles with dog. We went by Mr. Pritchard's, but he couldn't go. So we took a couple of his pups and started out. We got to the river and were sitting on our horses waiting for the strike. Man, it was pretty. So still and wet. Buddy, I says, if we can jump a cat, we can get him for sure, as everything's in our favor. Well, there she goes, says Buddy, as Old Crybaby let out on a long, clear cry. She had a good trail, and pretty soon, Rowdy is right in there with his horn mouth fairly yodeling, and Blackjack with his turkey and squall. Mr. Pritchard's pups are moving, too. They go south on Red Creek, moving pretty fast. Then here they come at full cry down the creek to the river. They sure were making music. They had a little trouble in the salt cedar brush around at the river, but these dogs are used to hard going and soon had him going again, this time for good. I was afraid we'd jump the wolf, and I was sure wanting to catch a cat. Buddy and I got on a rise where we could take it all in. Dogs would go down the river and back, then up the creek. They had been a-going for some time when they were coming down the creek and cut across the flatlands toward us. Buddy says, Lord, what a cat. And I looked up, and there he was, going behind a little bluff, Old Rowdy just about 20 feet behind, grunting and forgetting to bark. Excitement was really turned on then. Buddy was fairly settling the hammer down, making more fuss than the dogs. The cat went in a cave about halfway up the bluff. The den had 2 inches, one on top, and the other where he went in. The dog couldn't get to either hole, so Buddy takes part of the dogs and goes around on top. I lifted Old Rowdy up where he could get into the hole. The cat went in. Whew! The racket sure came after Rowdy went in on top of Old Tom. The old devil changed places with him and got a handful of dog ears. But soon saw that the old hound was stubborn. Out he came at the top hole, and the race was on again. They were in the open ground and deep washes. We could see it all. The old cat went down first one wash, then another. But old Jack and Crybaby were right there on him, and old Rowdy coming on, but he hadn't caught up since they got the run on him at the hole when he ran the cat out. Old Tom soon saw he couldn't get away, but he cut back right towards us and his hole, but he was too far from it. Crybaby was fairly on to him. She was really telling the world her mama was a hound. She caught the old cat about 30 feet from his hole. He gave a few rakes with his wicked feet, and she backed off. The old cat ran again, but she caught him, and then backed up. But old Rowdy was coming fast now, as he couldn't see the fight going on. He didn't even slow up when he hit the cat, and they rolled like 2 dogs fighting. I thought he had him, but he got away, went through a cedar brush, and back into his hole. But the poor old cat's number was up. He got a wire. We got a wire, and we ran him out. Rowdy soon killed him, while Crybaby and the pups sat around and bawled in the top of their voices.
Why'd they do that for him?
They're afraid to go on that cat. Oh. He gets slapped.
Oh. So they just sat around at a distance.
I lost the $35 pair of glasses watching a cat fight one day. Was running through the woods and out of my pocket. And I wanted to see this. Another fellow bragged about his dog being good fighters. I told him, I said, cattle whip every dog you got for one. And so that, did you get through reading it?
Well, we're waiting on you. Go
wait,
ahead.
Wait, no, I didn't mean
it. You go ahead, it's done.
No, you go ahead. Hold on. So that Mr. Keel bragged about Speedy and Rattler being so good, you know. Well, I went out that morning and they went a coon hunting instead of cat hunting. And my young dog struck a cat and run went cat right over where the tears at, and their dogs fell in with them. So we was out there and I was around watching, and I could tell he had some young dogs running my young dogs, and these other dogs, he had one in July was bad to cut and try to get ahead, and he was cutting way around. These other dogs were running this cat. Well, I was running through the thick place out here, out there the other side of the uprails, trying to get to see the fight, because I wanted to see that cat whip those dogs of his. After a while, I heard one of my young walker dogs, about a year old, begin to holler. And I ran to him, and when I got there, he had the cat had him holding him this way, and he's looking around watching the other dog this way, and none of the other young dogs wouldn't have him make him turn him loose. But he had my dog holding him. So that, because they're all just about a year old, a little year old, two of Mr. Keel's and mine. So that, here come old cat, when I went up, the old cat turned him loose, set up by this way, and here come Mr. Keel's Speedy dog up. And when he did, the dog run up there, you know, and he did, the cat reached and grabbed him this way and pulled him down and beat him. When the dog got loose, the blood flew and the dog went that way. Yeah, the old cat gone sitting up this way, and I just stand there
sitting
watching
on his haunches.
I just watching it, you see. And there come old Rattler. He come up there, his other fighting dog. He reached up and grabbed him, and when he got through biting him, the cat did and held him with his claws this way. He left that way bleeding. He didn't come back, and you couldn't get those two dogs back. So a big red rain lake trig that one of my cousins got me to bring from Alabama down here and sell for him. I'd let Mr. Keel have it. I told him, I said, that trig will kill a cat. So here he came. I knew he was a good fighter. So here he came up there and the old cat reached out. He didn't know any better. Run right up there. Cat grabbed him. Then he put him down and went to bite him. This old trig just kept on and snorting and kept mashing. After a while, he got nearly to his throat, and then he kind of whined a little, hollered. He started to give back. Now, I just let him have it, you know, there. And so that after a while, the old trig, he mashed back down there and kept pushing. He got this cat by the throat. And after, by the time he was dead, one young dog walked up by and bit him a little bit on his hind leg. But old, the trig dog, he wouldn't turn him loose. Now, I just let him hold him. And he killed that cat by himself. But he is a long, strong dog, you see, and a good fighter. And
he's a year old?
He's about 4 years old. This dog fought before, you see, and fought a lot of other dogs, you know, and he knew to take punishment. So that I picked the cat up and we brought him on in. He weighed 25 pounds. He's a big cat, too. And so that
25 pounds is a good-sized cat.
Yes, and 32 is that in the that way that in the court over yonder that nobody else's dogs couldn't catch, you know.
Well, most of them wanted to weigh, what, about 20 pounds?
Well, I had to carry. I didn't know it. I couldn't get nobody in town. Nobody wouldn't help me hold that dog, me to wash the blood off of my brother, one of my brother's dogs. Well, that cat, it just as bloody as his whole head was bloody and body was where that cat had caught it. And his eyes covered up and he couldn't see. And when I got to Micanopy, I couldn't get nobody in town. I said, well, I know who will help me. And I just loaded her up and carried her to the veterinary, and we washed it off, and the cat had just stuck its claws in her head. But she had bled. Here's a sight how she had bled. And that was one of my brother's dogs, the black and tan that he had. It was black and tan in color. She was supposed to be a full-blooded walker, black and tan walker. But my brother and his wife wouldn't say they weren't going to spend no money on a dog. I said, I didn't ask you all to pay. I said, it's your dog. What you want me to do about it? Y'all won't help me. Nobody won't help me. Doctor, treat the dog and get the blood off, see what's wrong. I said, if its eyes hurt, I want it fixed. Well, I cashed on up there and been there, charged me $2.50 for just wash the blood off. I paid him. I said, I didn't expect you all to pay him. I carried your dog on. I said, I'm going to pay the bill.
When was that, Mr. Wheeler?
That was the day that, now you want that in there. That was the day that, we caught that cat from Mr. Rush and them out there. That's
the same day.
Same day.
Hmm. Two cat hunts in one day?
No, not that. That's a different cat hunt. But this was on that cat hunt where we caught it out that dirt that is telling about the dog getting caught, you know.
Oh, that was a different cat.
Oh, that happened. That happened.
Came up with Mr. Royce and them were keepers with him. We had all those dogs.
Yeah. And you said one of the dogs got hurt.
I went ahead and finished telling the story then for him.
And that's the one that happened. Yeah, that's one of Buck's.
But the Trig didn't get hurt too bad because he just stayed with it and went on down and got the cat.
What's the name of that Trig dog? Was that Thunder?
No. Thunder was a half walking half Trig.
Oh.
That was let's see. What was he? Let me. But that's a different race, you know.
What's a Trig dog don't look like a walking dog?
Yeah, look, it's a half walking, half bird song cross. Makes
right.
A Trig.
I see.
Oh.
And what was that dog's name?
Well, does a bird song look like a walker?
What's that? Bird song, well, there are a lot of them. Well, all the walker dogs got bird song, July, and all that breeding. Back in way
yeah.
back on them when they was breeding them up.
Yeah.
You remember seeing Tennessee Leeds picture, didn't you?
Oh yeah.
You seen the Tennessee
yeah.
Leeds
mm-hmm.
picture, didn't you? Well, that dog was picked up in Tennessee by a horse trader and carried to up in Kentucky and sold to Morphin, and Morphin let Walkers have it. That dog, and he was the first dog that had ever been able to run a red fox down in Kentucky that they ever had any history on. He run a red fox down and caught it. He wouldn't quit till he caught it.
Yeah.
That they ever had any history of. And that's where Tennessee Lead comes in, the walker dogs and the bred. Then they got dogs from England and crossed in there too. That's where we get the white dogs. Those come from England.
Yeah.
Of course, you can breed the colors back any way you want to, just keep breeding certain colors of dogs. See, I went and bred back one to black and black blanket back dog. I don't like too much. I don't like that color, and then I like the white dogs the best. That's how come he was that ringneck and he over there now. And little Ann, you see, they both bark and do things I don't like. More like an old-fashioned dog would bark and do. Well, you see, the white dogs, they're quieter dogs and easier to handle.
Oh, are they?
And that's the reason that I like them the best, you see. And they're good dogs and win more field trials running, but they don't show as good on the bench as black and tan and blanket back dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Shows on the bench.
Yeah.
They
go ahead. Let's hear a little more of that hunt there, Ray.
Which one now? Which hunt now?
The one he's reading.
It's about... Well, that crybaby went up and he killed that cat, and the fellow says Blackjack went in and got him a hind leg when he decided the old cat was harmless.
That's where that happened with the tree.
Oh, that's why you thought.
Well,
mm-hmm.
He tied the old cat on the saddle and went in, and Mr. Pritchard said, well, I would have gone if I had known you were going to get one, but we never know till we go. That's what's interesting about it.
That's what several of the rest of them told me. Said I told them I was going hunting that morning, catch that bad cat, couldn't be caught. We tease each other a whole lot about that.
Now, what do you like about that, Mr. Weaver?
Well, that comes in there, you see, about, you know, the man said that he told me, and when I come in, I don't know Adam, all over the country said, if I'd known you all were going to catch that cat that morning, I'd have went with you. I wanted to see that cat caught. And that man said the same thing to that man, you see.
That's right.
And now that's true. What I'm telling you is true stories. I'm not adding to it in like some people will, you know, and make it different. I try to make it be exactly like that the story is. Because I like true stories better than I do
now, some of them,
touched up.
Some of them, they'll touch them up?
Yeah, some people
touch. You can tell when they do that.
Well, not every time, not reading it, but that sounded about like that same story that we had over here. And about the dog, you know, and the old getting back from one dog kill that cat, you know. But I used to have, back in the 30s, I had a pack of dogs, man, kind of hardly ever got a scratch on the cat. I had one big red dog, red speckled dog. He was a half walker. His mother was full blooded walker. And his mate to Julie, little Julie, that y'all got the history of there.
What was that, Mayflower?
No, Julie.
Yeah, Mayflower, yeah, all right.
Mayflower's mother, these dogs I got up here, I mean, old Dan.
What was the name of that dog that was mate to Mayflower?
No, that's little Ann. You got a record of that, too, part sure. of it. I didn't give you, y'all didn't get all of those stories, all of it, but you got quite a bit of it.
Go ahead with this.
Let's see, what was
that
I
dog,
now?
That dog that ran with Julie?
Oh, John. I seen him one day, a cat squatted in a treetop, and the other dogs were circling around, and all of them looking and smelling and looking and smelling, see, they knew it was there close. All at once, I seen old John make a dive into a treetop. And when he went up, that cat grabbed at him this way, like they all do, you know, just sitting there ready for it. And when it jumped at him, he jogged sideways and grabbed that cat this way and threw him over there, and the cat just stretched back and died that quick. They can't stand that pressure in the chest, and old John knew it.
Oh.
And he killed that cat and didn't get a scratch before any dog run. Found it out 10 steps from him. There's several dogs around that 10 steps. But they all rushed to him just as soon as they could and grabbed the cat, but he already had it dead. And I was wondering what dog it was killing those cats so quick when they got there, and it was old John.
And you happened to see that?
And I seen it, you see.
How'd you happen to be up there?
Well, I'd eat up around there and wouldn't let the dogs pay no attention to it. My dogs run all around me because I don't say nothing. And now I don't bother the cat, but he'll run with old John, and I'll have to drive somewhere else to try to listen at him. I'll slip out there, and if the cat comes up, I'll stay still. I stayed in the pass one day when the fox came right down the pass and jumped out here and jumped back in the pass and went on down below me and went on.
He got out of the pass and walked around you?
Jumped. Just one leap from right over there, over here, then right back in the pass and went on and never did see me. Me standing right this way.
Why, Mr.
Williams? I had cats come through. We right up close that stove there. And the best joke on me, I had a little .22 pistol way back yonder, you know, and in the 30s, there's a cat. I told the fella, I said, you walk right out there and I'll be up here. That cat's going to come right back out this way. And I said, if he comes out with me, I says, it's running here on the highway too much. I says, I'm going to shoot it. So I had that little old .22 pistol, you know, and look, I seen the weeds move that way, and I never heard that cat, and I was just as still as I could be, and as I looked down, just about like his foot for me right away, and it whipped on its back this way. I figured the cat had fallen. I knew it was going to go down when it seen me. I figured it'd fall from me, you know. It threw its back towards me, and I shot just over it. I shot for it to fall from me, and it fell towards me, and went right back and got away.
What do you mean, Mr. Weaver? It was creeping up through the grass?
Yeah, he was slipping out, going to go out and run, leave that thick place there and run across the open place to Buddy Huff's orange grove over yonder at Hickman. He's going to go and run off and leave the dog before they could get out there, you see, come running through that thick place, you know. That's the way they do, darts in thick place. Squat around, walk all around like a dog, and squat and lie down. It's you can't believe it hard unless you see it. The only way you'll ever believe it is to see it.
And you've been out there and seen them do it.
Oh, I've seen them do a lot of different things that way. I seen last year over yonder just out of Hawthorne, a young fox about that high came out, the dogs were running, and they're dodging in there, and there's three or four young ones and old ones around in there, and that makes it hard for the dogs to run. I seen him come out. He got up to the railroad. He looked up and down at this way, this track got away. He crossed over the first railroad track on the other side. He called up on it, and that little young fox came about, about 30 steps from me, 30 yards. He came and that close to him, and he turned off that railroad track. And the dogs come up there, they couldn't smell it on there. But they eventually circled around and picked the track up where he went off. I seen a young fox do that last year. And dogs learn to do that. I had an old dog 8 years old one time, learned to, when he went up to the highway, they'd go up to it, maybe right out of a sick place right close to the highway, then he'd run back in it, make another circle around, and come back again, he'd go back around. I've seen him come up around about the third time. He'd get up on that highway then, if he's got these dogs confused, you know, think they are. He'd get up on that highway and he'd run just as fast as he could run way up the highway, hard surface, then he'd turn off. I seen no walker dog come up there.
Now, that's a cat?
That's a fox.
That's a fox, yeah.
But the cats will do that, too. I seen, Victor, I said, well, old Spotted Gay, he'll find him out directly that he's gone out. I won't say nothing. I just let them alone. I stood down and watched him. While old Spot circled on the other side of the road, went way down it. He could smell it all in the grass, you know, and he turned off. He crossed on this side and he came back and he went back, circled around a little bit. Couldn't find where he went back the third time. He pulled out on this side of the road, went way on up it and crossed over. When he crossed over way up above there, he smelled it. And there's plowed field he went across. And they can't fresh plowed ground, they can't smell it as good.
No.
I seen this dog go out and he got in that field. After a while, he stopped at a place and he wagged his tail this way. And smelled. Truck around, he couldn't find where it went. Went back to that same place, put his nose right down there, and he smelled good. He threw his head up and said, "Oh, oh, 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 oh!" He went to the edge of woods. He knew not to strike trail through that flat ground, and he picked it up on the other side that way. And just in a few minutes, it's 3 miles from that time. I walked back to my car and a truck and drives 3 miles up the road. But I reckon it was 15 minutes before they could get that fox straightened out on that highway there.
Yeah.
I seen that trig dog down here on the highway this side of Hawthorne run a fox up by the way, and he's so close he winded it and followed it around 3 times. Third time he come back, he caught the fox by himself. I didn't kill the cat that morning. The other dogs were running another fox, and about that time they three did. He was running this one by himself. He caught his by himself. Things like that. I could tell you plenty of stories. Way back down in the 6 and 7 about cat hunting. I know the first thing I heard a squall made my, I felt like my cap went up this way. I don't know if my hat pushed up or not, but it felt like it did.
First time you ever went
there? I was by myself.
And you heard the cat squall.
Yeah, cat and dog was running. I heard him say, "Wow!" And the dog was on this side of me and I was between them. Boy, did I scrooge. It felt like my hat pushed my hat up.
And you just a boy then.
Yeah, I wasn't grown.
Oh.
But I've done a lot of hunting before then, but
that's
a funny feeling, let me tell you.
that cat was giving them a warning.
And he left from there and got away from my dog that night, and after a while my old dog, he eventually struck away up on a little mountain back in there and struck a fox and would run a fox all night then that night. But he didn't. That cat got away from us right there. He'd run up and down an old fence, rail fence. And he'd run up it, run down it, you know, and come back. And then he'd get up on that fence and run the fence.
Oh, run the fence.
And that's where he got away from the dogs and got on the other side of me, right from my piece back out behind me there. Then he squalled. And when he left from there, he got so far ahead of the dogs. My old dog was a better fox dog anyway. And he struck a fox, and all the dogs went to him, and they run a fox in that night. But that was Caddy's first one. I could tell him where he barked.
Mm.
Jeepers.
They change their barks on tones of different things they're running.
Yeah.
Well, they do.
Yeah. I could tell when he struck a fox and or anything. I could take him out one night and he'd hunt all night long. He wouldn't bark after a thing but a fox. Come back in if he didn't find a fox and not even bark. Until he'd get back close to home, he'd tree a possum or maybe a house cat and bark. I'd take a sack and axe and light and walk off from my house, and he is as good a possum dog as anybody wanted.
Oh.
Got no other dog.
Oh. You just take an axe and a sack with you.
Yeah, I'd done that with him, you see, and he'd learned when I walked off from my house, took a light, that and if I blowed my horn, I'd go in the fox hunting.
Mr. Weaver, what dog was that old Jack Herron was talking about that he had let, as red something, wasn't it? That he had let...
Maximixon.
Yeah.
That was a Walker dog that his uncle had give those boys up there in Georgia. He was a big fox hunter. His uncle.
Jack's uncle?
Jack's uncle. And they'd give, or somebody... Is his uncle or somebody that he had hunted with when he was a little boy, you know? And they gave him that dog. Rattler is what they called him.
Rattler.
That's right.
He was a good dog, too. But he'd run anything. He wasn't like mine. See, mine had just run. See, I trained mine myself. One man handling can train dogs. Now, you can't train many dogs like that. That's just luck. I don't want people to take the wrong impression that you can, because some dogs you can't change.
Well, Maxie liked him because he would run anything.
He'd run a deer, a hog, or anything. See, it run hogs, rabbits, and run around the place. See, Maxie just deer hunted with him. Usually when they deer hunt, when they get over in the deer woods, they don't run nothing much but a deer. They get used to it after you run them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A deer keep easy to run enough.
Yeah.
Except when they take an ocean, they run off and leave a dog.
Is that right?
They can do that. And... some red fox can do that, but not many of them are not these good Walker dogs like we have today.
But that was Rattler that.
Was Rattler. Yeah. He was a lemon spotted Walker dog.
Lemon spotted.
Yeah, red spotted or lemon spotted. Oh, you take, when I was a kid, we had to work. We didn't get time to do nothing much.
Well, now, what he said, you know, Jack said, he could take a sack out there and an axe, and he'd hunt possums, and he could take something else. You remember?
Uh-huh.
And he'd hunt that.
Well, I don't know. Now, Jack will make add little stories to some things, but ones I tell you is all true.
Yeah.
And I try not to make mistakes. Well,
how would that kind of work out if he wanted to run a rabbit, say?
Well, you can take dogs. Now, I could take those dogs I had, my fox dogs, and they'd run rabbits when I wasn't fox hunting.
Oh, was it?
They'd go out and run, see, and I'd on the farm, I'd just let them run loose, you see.
Yeah.
Not like it is now.
Yeah.
I have to keep mine up all the time. Somebody else steal them or kill them, or they'd like to get them.
Well, now
this
Rattler that Jack had, you can tell him ahead, it seemed like what Jack was.
Well,
doing.
You can take them out and you can holler. A lot of people trained them from puppies on up. Suey. That's to run a hog. And the dog will, or some dogs will learn it, some won't. And some
and
dogs.
The wild hog.
Yeah, you've got to start from the puppies to do these things. And they learn what you're hunting for.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a dog is rather like my dog that I caught a few possums with, you know. He rather run a fox. He was one of the best fox dogs that was in the country.
He just didn't care about running possums.
No, but he would if he knew that there weren't no fox around close. We had to go 5 miles to run a fox.
I can see that because a possum is not much to it.
Well, he didn't care nothing about him, never did. There's a long time he may go with his mate, and his mate would tree him, but he wouldn't. And a lot of things like that. Well, listen, I'm just taking up y'all's time, and it's not helping you either to jump from one thing to another.
No, you're not down one thing or another.
Well, you need to just get on one subject. What you need to do is just put on one subject and keep that.
Take that with you.
What's this here? Is this that same?
Same stuff.
Same medicine?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just fixing to start on taking the other bottle. Ready? This will be too much to take the two?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll just take it if you need it like I did this other.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, I was on two other kind of medicine. I was taking those Willard tablets one at night. And now I've got two of them saving those, and I was going to fix and start on this. You see, I don't like to mix medicine unless I know you can mix it.
Oh, no, that's all the same. All the same.
Can you take this with other medicine, too?
Well, and Van Arnim said, and she says it's bland.
Bland. Here's Van Arnim.
She says it's weak. It just coats your stomach, and they all do the same thing.
Well, that's the same thing as those Willard's.
And I told her what you said was that you take one and you sort of lose its force, and you need another kind.
Yeah, and you change around. Yeah. You have got better effect out of it.
That's real good.
You see, I'm taking out swamp root. You know, that's good for your kidneys. Swamp root is herbs, and it's good for your stomach anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm using it. I take it every morning when I first get up and drink a little water with it.
You want me to take Mr. Eagle home?
I'll get him home.
Well,
I enjoyed it, and I hate that I took up so much of your time.
Well, we are sorry about that, Mr. Eagle.
Well,
I'm glad to see you, Mr.
Let me tell you, you were right about that oats out there. It did kind of wilt it.
Well, it looked to me like it was.
If I had noticed that myself, I wouldn't have waited until late this afternoon. The sun will bring it out, won't it?
Well, it may take a day or two. It may come down and take a shower of rain, and it comes on up and can't tell it.
Yeah, so
I've seen it go flat from down and come up.
Yeah, I wouldn't have let them out if I had noticed it.
Well, thank you. We'll see you.
All right.